AlkaVision.com today.
Not a surprise, a new poll reveals baby boomers are worried about retirement. Gee, you think? Any of you fall into that category? Hey, everybody. Not to start on a negative note. Welcome to America Tonight. This is Kate Delaney. We zig and zag all over the place and talk about water cooler buzz on the overnight highway. Many of you might be insomniacs. Perhaps you're working, or maybe you're just worrying about how we are being leveraged to the hilt and beyond. Somebody in a conversation with me a couple of months ago said, you know, what's the worry? It's ridiculous. I don't understand the big press to stop spending. I mean, after all, that's what you do. You spend your way out of a problem. I thought, wow, absolutely. That's what we have been doing as a nation, and it's not working. It made the problem bigger. I was taught when I was a kid not to bury my head in the sand like an ostrich when I had a problem. And you know what? My mother was right. When I did that, the problem that was really kind of small became bigger. She was right. So we've ignored the problem. And this budget nonsense is just out of control. It's become a real juggernaut. So the Republican budget plan would pretty much change Medicare and Medicaid. Some of you might be perking up that I've now said the double M words. So what does that mean? Well, it means this. The Republicans are standing their ground, and what is being pumped out there as far as the Republican plan, it would still add $5 trillion to the deficit over the coming decade, but it would promise to reach the primary balance by 2015, which means that the budget would actually be balanced, except for some interest payments on some already accumulated debt. That's pretty easy to understand. It's like when you have a credit card and you're looking at the payoff, when it would be if you continue down the path that you're on now, paying X amount of dollars. So the national debt, we all know this number, right? Does anyone not know this number? What is the national debt? If you didn't know it was $14 trillion, now you know. $14 trillion. How can we escape that number? The White House projects this year's deficit, this year, just this year, 1.6. Democrats say the Republican plan hurts the double M's because it cuts seniors and the poor to pay for continued tax cuts enjoyed by the wealthiest. In fact, let me give you a quote from Congressman Steve Israel, Democrat from New York. It says, forcing seniors to pay higher health costs is not the right way to balance our books, and it's not the only way to do it. Here's what's being, I guess, in a, if we're peeling an apple, let me just get to the good stuff right up front. So in revamping the two, we're talking about prioritizing government. So the plan calls for spending cuts and restructuring of taxpayer-financed health care. So, yes, it would affect the elderly and the poor, because if you look at the shift, the plan would slash federal spending by $5 trillion or more over the next decade, right? It leaves Social Security untouched, but shifts most of the risk from the incredibly high medical costs that keep rising from the government to Medicare beneficiaries. It also calls for sharp cuts to Medicaid health care for the poor and disabled and to food aid for the poor. It's being called the path to prosperity. This is the House Budget Committee chairman. This is what, you know, his task was, Paul Ryan, and it calls for overhauling the U.S. tax code, which bravo to that. It's complicated, makes no sense, and it's completely inefficient. So some of the tax breaks and loopholes would be scrapped, and it would reduce the top income tax rate for individuals and corporations from 35% to 25%. The Democrats, like I said, immediately went on the defense saying this screws the older people because all the risks of an cost increase will be on the shoulders of the seniors. But if you dig a little bit deeper, it doesn't really, and I haven't seen every single, stroke on this, obviously, but I don't think that's true if you look at where they're headed. Because here's the deal. People now 54 and younger wouldn't go into the same Medicare program as their parents and their parents before them. Instead, they would get a voucher kind of deal from the federal government to buy coverage from a choice of regulated private plans, right? So the Republican plan would restructure health programs, and that would, and the way they're doing it would make the affordable health care plan look like it didn't really go far enough, because it would pretty much change Medicare and Medicaid, and it would help pay medical bills for about 100. So basically, right now, that pays medical bills for about 100 million Americans. And so with some tinkering in the way it would appear down the pike, it would change the long view of Medicaid. So Washington would send a lump sum of money to spend on medical care, nursing homes, and health services for poor and disabled. In other words, to states. And a state hurting for cash might decide to stop accepting new applications for Medicaid. That's what the Democrats are biting on. It's because it puts it back to the states. And they would have to figure out where they're headed and what they're doing with it. So therefore, it's off the shoulders of the federal government and the money changes. To me, it makes sense, but that's smaller government versus bigger government, and that's part of what's also underneath this Republican plan versus what the Democrats are saying. And the bottom line is, Friday, no budget. It's extended it won't be extended again. It'll just shut down the government. So when Friday comes, there was discussion originally that there'd be another extension, but I don't think so. I think you're going to see a government shutdown. How long? Last time this happened in the 90s, it was a week. I don't think it'll be a week. I think it's more of it will be more like a couple of days. However, if the negotiations that fell apart are a preview of what's to come, maybe I'm dead wrong on this. And I'm not looking at the angle quite right. Maybe it will be a week or more. If you have any thoughts on this or anything else that we're talking about here on America Tonight, shoot them to me through the website, americatonight.net.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. You know how I love my flyover states. Gold, silver, the markets. We're going to talk about it next. But before we do that, I'm going to introduce you to someone. Kenton Kisler's name is. He's the executive director of something called Executive Connection. So why should you care about Executive Connection? What is that about? You know, we talk about, and everybody knows at this point, I've said it many, many times, I am definitely a capitalist. That's what's made this country work so, so well. But I'm also about opening people's eyes and giving back. And how do you change? How do you change the point of view of many people where they have this this ugly definition of sometimes the corporate monster? And most of that goes back to the last couple of years and the banks too big to fail and all of that stuff. But there certainly are incredibly giving people who work in your community, as I'm sure all over the place, in the great state of Texas and Florida and Illinois, all the places that you're listening to us. And this Executive Connection, what they're trying to do is they're trying to change, I think, those points of view, kind of a changing of the guard, if you will. Leaders that look toward paying it forward. But Kenton can tell us a little bit more about that. Kenton, did I sum that up right?
You did, Kate. Thank you very much for having me on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, Executive Connection, we're a six-year-old organization based here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And at the 50,000-foot level, you know, we've got roughly 500 members, and all of our members are C-level executives in the direct reports. And they all fit in that mid-market space. And as an organization, we are all 100% committed to being better leaders inside as well as outside of the office. And so what I mean by that is we have somewhere between 12 and 15 events here in Dallas, and most of these are morning breakfasts because that's the easiest way to get executives to come and attend. But we'll come in, and all of our programs are focused on how to lead by example, how to mentor others, how to put others' needs before yourself. And we'll also bring in a local nonprofit, and we bring awareness to who these nonprofits are. And then as an organization, we invite all of the members as well as their companies and even their families to come get engaged, to kind of, you know, lead by example and give back to others. And that's really what we're trying to do with everybody here in the organization, is just create a different culture.
Yeah, and so in doing that, is that how you thought, okay, this will help the nonprofits, maybe some of them that don't get as much attention? We know the big ones are on everybody's radar, but what about some of the good things that are happening where you can't see the forest through the trees kind of thing? And so I'm sure you reach out to a lot of those, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because if you take a look at a lot of the executive management teams out there, majority of those individuals are involved in the smaller nonprofits because it's a personal thing for them. So what we encourage our members to do is bring awareness to these nonprofits they're involved with. So at every event that we have, we'll give these nonprofits, you know, 10 to 15 minutes to really get up, share a little bit about who they are, what they're doing, promote upcoming events. And then, again, we get everybody engaged and involved. You know, these are the nonprofits who don't get the big corporate dollars, the big corporate sponsorships. And so even the volunteer piece of this thing makes a huge difference for their organization.
Yeah, no kidding. And so do you think that that's part of it, where people listening right now in other places, that's how you can start to change the culture and the idea of the big bad monster, like I said, for those who still have that opinion, and say, listen, this isn't so bad because we can help a lot of people. And not not that that wasn't happening before, but this is just a way to, I think, make people more aware of it, I guess, in these companies is what you're saying, right?
Sure. You know, and to take it just one step further, if I may, a lot of companies right now are just not in a position where they're giving out large raises, big bonuses. Mm-hmm. They're really just tightening the belt loop somewhat. In order for these companies to create a different culture, to really want their employees, their management team to come in and enjoy the workplace, they have to create a better culture. Executives have got to wake up. They have got to get involved with their organization, with their employees. They have to take a more personal look and involvement with their organization. And it will, you know, it will create better goodwill. And it'll encourage those employees to want to work harder, ultimately.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. Kenton Kistler, as I said, Executive Connection. What a great idea, and I can tell that it's already growing. We look forward to speaking with you again in the future. Thanks, Kenton.
Thanks a lot, Kato. I appreciate it.
All right, and it's interesting what he's talking about, too, with this Executive Connection. They want to be in all the NFL cities. That's kind of how they're laying it out. I say it's a good thing for charities and the idea of the nonprofits getting involved, especially when the economy is up and down the way it is. It's been a tough couple of years for not so much the big name charities, although it has been tough for them to weather the highs and the lows of it, of what's going on with the economy since the fall of 2008. But really, for some of these vital organizations that don't get the coverage that a United Way gets, let's say, or an American Heart Association, stuff that they do and that they do through charities. There are a lot of organizations who help children, for example, that just don't get that kind of mileage. They aren't out there. They don't have the money to spend to advertise. So if they could use these companies, if these companies could take the executives and I think get them to feed things back, everybody wins in that case. Everybody wins. All right, speaking of winning and losing, I asked a question about, and let me tell you this first, the Dow, because I said I would tell you about the markets. Man, gold is going sky high. Gold is through the roof. I thought by I was thinking by the end of last year, almost up to 2,000. We're not quite at 15, but getting close to 15. If we look at the markets, the Dow was subtract about, 6 points, down 6 points and change. The NASDAQ was up two, and the S&P less than a point. Oil for a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, 108. Ooh, 108. Are you feeling the pain at the pump? Speaking of oil, I mentioned this, the battle in Libya. How much is the Air Force spending a day for the Libyan war, and how much have they spent so far? Well, a couple of you shot me back some guesses through the chat. If you go to americatonight.net, you can see me and our studio, our satellite studio. But also you can chat to us that way, or you can also send an email at americatonight.net. You click on the email there, and that's how we can communicate if you don't want to give us a call at 800-259-5791. Or you're working, like Jack in Austin. He sends us emails constantly, but he's working. I'm thinking he has like a BlackBerry underneath his desk or something. I'm not sure. So here are some of the guesses I got from the chat. In a Pickle says 10 million, but I think In a Pickle was thinking overall, not thinking, not thinking daily. Jack from Down Under said 75 million, but I think he cheated and looked it up. So what the true amount of money is, and it's still staggering, 4 million a day. Now the 4 million is to keep fighter jets scrambling and support 40 aircraft altogether in this conflict. And the secretary, Michael Donnelly, told reporters that the Air Force had a little press conference in D.C. The Air Force has spent $75 million as of Tuesday morning, and that the U.S. decision to end its combat strike role in the conflict will cut the costs, but by how much? So $50 million on the relief effort for the Japan quake, $40 million to evacuate over 6,000 people in Japan, and the total U.S. cost for the Libyan air campaign as of March 28th, ready for this, $550 million. That's not even counting what you would call normal deployment spending. Ooh! All right, we're going to change gears and lighten the load. Stephen Shohat joins us from Hollywood to talk about the horror genre. And yet, the fourth in a series of Screams. Hang with us.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Yeah, us too. What's your favorite scary movie?
It was The Killer's Voice. From Stab? You know, from your life. I'm Kirby, by the way. I'm their friend.
And the killer didn't call you?
No. Is that a bad thing? Does that mean that I'm not going to live as long as these two?
No. Maybe. Of course not. Just be careful.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that? I'm going to be next.
Ah, yes, that was a little sliver of Scream 4. It's coming out on April 15th. Hey, everybody, Kay Delaney, America Tonight. Each and every week, we check in with Stephen Shohet from Hollywood. Stephen, I am really into horror flicks, but I don't know, four times, the fourth Scream, you said you wanted to talk about it. Do people really go for this stuff?
Oh yeah, I mean the first three movies made over $500 million.
Woo!
Now they definitely declined as it went on. I mean, you know, you go back to Scream 3, which was made in 2000, 4 years after the original came out, and one problem with that was Neve Campbell was not really available for much of the movie, so her appearance is kind of limited, and also Kevin Williamson, the original screenwriter, was actually he didn't write the script, or at least not the whole script. So there were elements in the third one that sort of made it run out of steam, and I don't know if they have anything left for the fourth one. I know Kevin Williamson, again, hasn't written this script. It's somebody else. So, it'll be interesting. But the one thing, Kate, is that horror, it'll never go away, concepts like this, because it's so, compared to other films, it, there's such low-budget movies versus the profits that you make. In fact, if you look back at Wes Craven's career, I mean, he got started with a low-budget movie called The Hills Have Eyes, which mm-hmm. was back in 1972, which was a very offensive movie to a lot of people, but I mean, it was immensely profitable, and so many filmmakers have broken into it. I mean, just for example, Toby Hooper was once in a hardware store, and there was a big line, and he thought, hey, what if I get a chainsaw and cut to the front of the line? And that's what inspired him to create the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely an appeal for this, and I mean, I'll be curious to see how it does.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you like horror flicks? Are you a horror guy?
I like Scream, but I don't like it. You know, there's a lot of them I don't like. I mean, I'm generally not drawn to them. I mean, it depends on what it is. I kind of like the movie Orphan a couple of years ago that Leonardo DiCaprio produced. And Jaws, I don't know if people consider that horror, but that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
You know, with Scream, I mean, it was witty. Now, it's a little too bloody for me. In fact, you know, Kevin Williamson, when he wrote it, he was unemployed at the time, could barely pay his rent. And part of it was inspired by a real serial killer named Danny Rollins, who was known as the Gainesville Slasher. But most of it was inspired by the movie Halloween. And he had this idea that you could make a movie with this generation, the 1996 teenagers that have grown up on horror movies, and therefore they could survive by their knowledge of what would normally happen, what all the cliches are. They could figure out how to thwart the killer. And when he wrote it, immediately Drew Barrymore, as soon as she got it, expressed an interest in it, and she wanted to play the lead character. And then what happened was Drew Barrymore changed her mind and said, you know what, it'll be way more exciting if I play the first girl who gets killed off, because then the audience will think anybody can die. And, you know, they were very afraid to do that, the producers, because they thought, here's our star, her fans are coming to expect to see her. And she said, listen, I'll promote it like I'm the star. I'll do all the interviews and all the publicity you want. And so they went forward with it, in that way, but it almost got shut down and canceled, basically because the producers did not like the ghost face of the killer. You know, they thought it looked absolutely ridiculous, and it took a lot of convincing to get them to see that it was effective. And one of the things they did, and this is what I don't like about the movie, they really ratcheted up some gory, bloody scenes, which kind of took away from the humor. Because, you know, I think it could have been effective as a movie that made you jump, rather than just showing all the blood splattered all over the place. But Wes Craven disagreed. In fact, at one point, Kevin Williamson came to him and said, does it have to be this bloody? And he said, well, you wrote the script. How are we going to kill people without blood? You tell me. And Kevin Williamson didn't really have an answer. But that's the drawback, of that movie for me. I mean, I wish they would have toned that down a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding. I like the first one, too. I agree, but that's fascinating stuff, what you just told us about Drew Barrymore, because I thought she was great in it, and who knew? I didn't know that whole thing about her being killed off, and that I knew she was killed off, but I didn't realize that she still was promoting the movie and that they were worried about that and all that behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, the Halloween movies, boy, they just live on and on and on. So maybe there's something about the franchising of certain films where it works. You've covered Hollywood for a long time. What do you think? Are there just certain franchises that have life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Saw recently. I mean, obviously Jason and the Nightmare on Elm Street. But I found the Scream to be wittier than almost all of those movies. So that's what made it a special category. And one of the things they did with it, which was so smart, when it was first released, they put it out at Christmas time. Actually, on Christmas Day was the wide release of that movie, and it was going up against against films that are typically Oscar nominated, and it was a calculation by the Dimension Film Company that there were there was nothing for teenagers to watch at that time. So that was another reason it sort of had that field all to itself. I mean, a slasher movie released on Christmas Day, and it just really took off. I mean, I just. By the humor of it, and see, they had to be very careful with it because they wanted to make a movie that was scary but had humor, but not a movie that was a satire. Of course, you know, they ended up satirizing the movie later on with Scary Movie, which was a play on Scream. But that's where Neve Campbell, a lot of people, I'll tell you, when I read the internet forums about her, they criticize her acting. I've read people say that I wish she was killed off, you know, but the fact of the matter is it's not an easy role because you have to be sort of the straight person while everybody else is kind of crazy around you, and also she had to be sort of strong and vulnerable at the same time, and I think she did a really good job, but I think she has a lot to do with why that franchise is successful as it has mm-hmm. been. And of course, after saying she wasn't going to come back, I guess money talks, and here she is about to be in the fourth one.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, the other person, too, that I think people are attracted to, and maybe it's the Friends carryover or a different role or whatever, is Courtney Cox. Do you think she gets a lot of buzz off of this?
Yeah, she really loves it because Neve Campbell was uncertain about the role, but Courtney Cox really wanted to do it, and it was an opportunity to play a character that is not nice, shall we say, compared to Rachel. And so I think that was Rachel, the character she plays on Friends, and I think that was a big deal. And, you know, what's kind of ironic is the character of Dewey, played by David Arquette, and I don't think I give anything away to say he survived because he's been in all the movies. So he was supposed to die in the first movie, and the audience testing showed that people really liked Dewey, and so he lived. And of course, 3 years later, he got married to Courtney Cox. And if he hadn't come back for the second movie, you never know, their relationship might not have blossomed or gone in the same direction. And of course, you know, right now they are having some problems, but they're still married at least. And so that film, I mean, they both said that film and Wes Craven, the director, really pushed them into having their romance. So, you know, it's ironic how things turn out sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. The demographics for this kind of a film, what are the demographics? Are they all over the board, or are they, because you were talking about younger people, is it 20-something?
Yeah, I assume people who say things like I haven't been to a movie since The Sound of Music aren't going to go see it, you know. So I'm sure they skew younger, and of course since the characters have so much awareness of movies like Friday the 13th and in the very first scene of the very first Scream, they're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street and how the first one was good and the rest of them weren't, and that's because Wes Craven made the first one and then he was off the other ones, and so he didn't appreciate them as much. So I think there's definitely a cultural reference for younger people, and I'm sure some older people enjoy it, but it was definitely aimed at teenagers from day one, but here it is now. Neve Campbell is 37, and so I don't know what's going to happen with her character. I mean, a lot of people are speculating that she might meet her demise this time, but there are plans for Scream 5 and Scream 6, so who knows.
Oof, that's good news. 5 and 6 for all of you Scream fans out there. Stephen Show had Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Great book. Pick it up. You can get it at Amazon.com, B&N, any of your local bookstores, to be sure. And we can also check out your blog. Tell us about your blog.
Oh, I don't really have a blog. I have a bunch of articles on my website, which is HollywoodStories.com. I can't say I'm consistent enough to have a blog, but there's over 50 articles on my website about the movies and past and present. And it's HollywoodStories.com is the website, also with the information about the book and the tours and everything.
Excellent. Stephen, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week on America Tonight.
You got it, Kate.
Coming up on the flip side, sports shorts and more.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Using striking and grappling, it takes place inside a giant cage, pitting one man against another. What's the sport? We'll tell you next on Sports Shorts with me, the sports princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's, helping bring your family together with wholesome dinner options, even on the busiest of nights. Find dinner table ideas to bring your family together at letsfixdinner.com. To get kids involved in dinner time conversation, ask specific questions, not broad ones. Instead of what happened today at school, try what was the best thing that happened today. The more specific you are, the more they'll have to say. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Mixed martial arts, also known as ultimate fighting, allows a combination of full combat contact sport moves. Its roots go back to the 1900s in Europe and Japan, but it didn't make it to the U.S. until 93. It's basically no-holds-barred fighting. Think wrestling, boxing, and karate. Martial arts star Bruce Lee called it Jit Kune Do. He's unofficially been dubbed the father of MMA. He believed the best fighter could adapt to whatever means necessary, whether it was judo, karate, or boxing. And if you watch some of his movies, you can understand why. The bare-chested fighters wear shorts and wrap gloves as they maneuver around inside the cage. A winner is declared by the judges after a certain amount of time, unless there's a knockout. There's no question, with massive appeal, sky-high ratings, and demand on pay-per-view, mixed martial arts is becoming a sport with mass appeal. This is the Sports Princess for Sports Shorts.
Let's go!
In Washington, they could use a little mixed martial arts. What do you think? Harry Reid in a cage with John Boehner. Who do you like coming out ahead in that fight? I'm going to say John Boehner, probably. There is a little bit of an age factor there, but I think Boehner can be scrappy when he needs to be. Nobody is getting anything done as far as a deal is concerned when it comes to the budget, but what else is new? What is surprisingly, I think, apparent, all of the conversations that we've been having with people inside the Beltway about will the government shut down, and we keep hearing, oh, no, 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 and it'll look bad, and first it'll look bad on the Republicans, and then the Democrats say it would look bad perhaps on them ultimately. I mean, they're not admitting that, but it's a question of flip a coin who ultimately gets the blame for it. And our insiders say that the president won't take the heat for this one because the president is trying to get Congress to come up with a deal. But there's a lot of finger pointing going on. At this point, the possibility of a shutdown is becoming pretty real because we're talking Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I think into the weekend, there's a good chance of that. If you had any plans to go to a national park, scrap them. Because that's definitely off the menu. If you were going to go throw a fishing line with your son, with your grandkids, whatever, or you're just going to hang out and do a picnic thing, forget it. All the state parks will be closed because they're not going to staff them. That would be one thing that would be affected, and there's like 380-some. And whether it's close to your house or someplace far away, you know, people make the treks to Yosemite and whatnot. Timing could be bad for some folks. That would definitely, definitely be iced. Then there are the more serious things like checks to veterans' families, people who are waiting for Social Security checks. And that is a big deal when you're playing with somebody's money and you're talking about 3-4 days and somebody has to pay a bill. I don't want to belabor this point, but it's true. And we all know that if you've ever had to play chicken with bills, you're going to lose if you're waiting for Social Security checks. And there are plethora of other things that would be affected by a shutdown. Not the TSA, not Homeland Security, but things that you might not be thinking about. Museums, forget about it. Museums, all that kind of stuff, like national museums, whatever. Your timing could be poor if you're in Washington right now. So without further ado, I said we would check the mail, and let's do that here on America Tonight. And in checking the mail, it looks like Alex keeps emailing us. Alex says, Kate, what do you think is going to happen with the government and a shutdown? Do you really think at this point it'll happen? I know you've been talking about it on the air a lot. Well, we just talked about it there. And, you know, I'm not Madam Cleo. I don't have a crystal ball, but I mentioned this already. The people in Washington that I rely on for information are telling me, wow, all of a sudden it's looking like this really could happen. And it seemed unlikely before, but now, at least over the weekend, it's very likely. They're continuing this debate, but they're not making a deal, and they're pretty far apart, the Democrats and the Republicans, the House and the Senate, on what a deal constitutes and what they're going to be able to do with the budget. So I'm thinking that if I have to make a guess on this, if I was laying money down in Vegas on this, I would say, yeah, we're probably going to see a government shutdown. All right, here's another one. This one's from the boss man. The boss man says, "Hey, America, tonight I've been trying to get through. I was trying to get through, to be honest, when you were doing the nail the score version of the NCAAs. I got a question. Were you surprised at the run Connecticut made, even at the end? I was surprised because, once again, we had Steve Budin on, and a lot of times he's right on his analysis, and he kept saying how exhausted Connecticut was and how they didn't have the horses to get through the tournament, but they did it all the way to the end, and then they won the thing. For the third time, Jim Calhoun the oldest coach, 68 years old, so they did get it done. The game itself against Butler, sadly, was not a fun game to watch. It was a rather boring game. The first half was, there was like no life. Nobody was hitting anything. It was 22-19, I think, in favor of Butler. And then the second half, at least, it turned around and it was a little more exciting at the end, but not really. I mean, not really. I'm being kind because I do like UConn, and I know we have a lot of listeners, great, fantastic, longtime listeners of America Tonight in Connecticut, like Chris in Connecticut, who won, by the way, Nail the Score when we were doing the NFL. So for them, I'm very, very happy. But I have to say it was not an exciting national championship. So we, like I said, we're checking the mail, and boy, the mail is full. I think even my mistress man found his voice again. Did he?
You have mail, mistress.
Yeah, I have Mahalo, who wants that job. He was just auditioning for it. If you don't know who Mahalo is, he's my golden retriever who wants a ton of attention. And he had an opinion on the basketball game because he was my faithful companion watching it with me, and he thought the same thing, to tell you the truth, that it wasn't all that. All right, this one's from Little Joe. Little Joe says, Kate, I heard you mention a little while ago, so I'm quickly writing this, about the Air Force spending $4 million a day. What? What are they spending $4 million a day on? $4 million a day to keep 50 jets and about 40 support aircraft. So do the math, that's 90 in the middle of this Libya conflict. And that also includes, I guess, the cost of the munitions for that. Wow, $4 million a day. But now the U.S. is supposedly pulling out. Remember, that's it for the U.S. So they spent $75 million as of Tuesday on this effort. And they've ended the combat role anyway in the conflict, so that should cut some costs. But how much does the Air Force save altogether, you know, in that, like I said, $75 million? I guess I was kind of surprised. I mean, we know it's expensive stuff, and we saw where it was headed. But that's another $75 million in the middle of this crazy budget crisis that, geez, can we... You know, it seems like a drop in the bucket, but can we really afford it? All right, here's one from Avery who says, what's the scoop on the Giants fan who was beaten up? I didn't get the whole story on that. All right, to re-rack it here, a San Francisco Giants fan was beaten at Dodger Stadium after last week's opening game and apparently is showing some signs of, sadly, brain damage. The guy is in critical condition. Wow. It's so sad, too. Brian Stowe is his name. He's in a coma. He's just 42 years old, and naturally he has a couple of kids. He's from Santa Cruz. So they say he's in critical but guarded condition. At one point, I guess, this is how serious it was, doctors had to actually remove the entire left side of his skull to ease the pressure on his brain. But now it's a little bit more normal there, but they're very, very concerned about it. Just absolutely unbelievable.